WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. In our second hour, if you missed the first, you really need to catch up on that. There was a whole lot of stuff going on there. We always put our shows at the end of each month on our website. They stay there indefinitely. Pastor Jim, there's like 350 shows on our website, bohmglobal.com. Huge amount of shows.
One for every day of the year.
There you go. So we encourage people to listen. Go there and listen. And we got a lot of storage space, so we just keep on putting them there. Tell us about the Friday gathering every week here in Tampa Bay.
Okay. Every Friday night, we meet at the Ramada Inn, 3850 Olmerton Road in Clearwater. It's very conveniently located. It's right on Olmerton. It's very close to the 275 Interstate 275 exit, US 19. So it's really easy to get to. The actual Bible study part starts about 6:30. Sometimes we switch it up, but we always at some point have some praise and worship. Then we get into the Word, and it's an interactive study. So bring a Bible, bring a notebook, bring a pen, bring your questions, because it's kind of a talk back, teach back sort of thing. We just kind of go back and forth. And before the Bible study starts, we have from 6-ish to 6:30 time for prayer. We read prayers out of the book Prayers That Avail Much. Those are very word-based prayers. We also take prayer requests. We pray for those. So that's kind of our prayer time. Then we have our praise and worship normally. Then we have our time getting together in the Word. And it's a blessing. And it does start at 6:30. So if you're coming, and some people do come directly from work, they'll stop on the way. There are some places around there to grab food. And feel free to bring it in, you know. People sit and eat during the first part. The main thing is we want you there with your questions. We want you alert. I'd rather have you bring your dinner in than sit there and think, boy, how long is he going to preach? I need to get out of here. I'm starving. So feel free. Bring your dinner.
Exactly.
And like I said, 6:30 every Friday, Ramada Inn.
Try to get out around 8-ish.
8-ish, 8:15. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Real late.
Yeah, never later than 8:30.
No. So yeah, we welcome every single one of you. Also, if you want to be a financial partner with us, we don't talk about this much at all, and God has always supplied our needs, and we thank him for that. But, you know, we want to offer you the privilege, actually, of planting your finances, your tithes and your offerings in good soil. God talks about good soil as being the soil where the Word is coming up and the Word is being taught. And that's what this show is all about. That's what our Friday gathering is all about. The prayers, everything, it's all about the Word. Our slogan for Beacon of Hope is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. So, you know, we encourage you. Go ahead and send in your donations. Just go to our website, bohmglobal.com. Go down to the bottom of the homepage, and there is a tab that says donations. Click on that. It'll take you to a place you can use PayPal, which is safe, and give a donation towards the ministry. It will go for this radio show. That's what it will go for. And so we encourage you to give of your tithes and offerings. And this is part two, actually the second hour, of our Living the Good Life today. And our series is Fired Up with Purpose. We've been in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We've just now gotten into chapter 2. I'm excited about this next song, Pastor Jim. It's by that group Sanctus Real. I'll show you how to live, because that's what we're talking about here. That God will show us how to develop this purpose that he has for us.
Exactly.
And this song just kind of speaks to that. It's really... Here we go.
I heard the sound of your first breath, a brand new life on your mother's chest, a beating heart, expectant eyes on the first day of your life. I saw you take your first step, and I watched you run with no regret to chase your dreams and find true love, and the best is yet to come. So come with me, I'll show you life even better than this. Come with me, I'll show you love. Even better than this, come with me, I'll show you love you didn't know could exist. Better than your first crush, better than your first kiss. Oh, I'll show you how to live.
Amen. Woo. God wants to show us how to really live. You're listening to Living the Good Life, and it's all about learning how to live the way God wants us to live and getting purpose in our lives and realizing that His plan is the best plan for us. We can plan all day long, and then it seems like life happens and things don't work out according to the way we had planned. And when we are absolutely on board with God's plan and purpose for our lives, then we develop more meaning, more purpose than we've ever known. And, you know, Paul's life was an example of this. He started out, he said that he was, you know, one of the foremost as far as the Jewish traditions. He did everything correctly, didn't he? PJ, he was really high up in the Jewish ranks.
Yeah, he was a Pharisee, and he studied under Gamaliel,
right?
Who was one of the leaders of the two main schools,
right?
For Pharisees, you either went to Gamaliel, or you went to I forget his name escapes me at the moment, but there were two.
Okay,
Hillel was the other.
All
one.
Right,
and Paul was a disciple of Gamaliel. Apparently. He was a member of the Sanhedrin.
Mm-hmm. So he was very prestigious.
He was prestigious.
Religious.
He knew his way around.
Yes.
Yeah, he was very religious.
Right.
Because he said, according to the law, I was practically blameless.
Right.
So he tried to do everything right for what he knew.
Right.
And.
But then Jesus came and knocked him off his horse.
Yes.
In a vision.
Well, because part of what Paul thought he needed to do being.
Right.
As this great leader, I mean, because he thought he knew what was right, he decided he had to persecute the church.
Right.
And God said, oh, well, okay. What better person? I mean, and this is, Paul could have felt so much less than.
Right.
Because, and he mentions it a couple of times, he says, you know, I persecuted the church. I'm the least of the apostles. And, you know, he could have wallowed in that, you know, he could have told God, wait a minute. I was there when Stephen was stoned.
Right. How could you possibly use me?
I held their cloaks. Right. I warred against your church.
Right.
Lord, how can you do this? And let this be an encouragement, because here's somebody who actively fought against God.
Right.
Fought against the church, fought against Jesus. And Jesus says, no. I have something for you to do.
Right.
I have something for you to do.
God had a purpose.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter.
Yes.
What happened? I mean, and Paul said, you're getting back, sorry, to your original point.
No, go ahead.
He said, forgetting what lies behind.
Yes.
I press on. Because he said, everything, all this stuff is garbage.
That's Philippians chapter 3. I think we need to run over there because you just quoted it. And that is a powerful, and Paul said these words. And now that we've had a little history lesson on Paul, which I appreciate, that is great. We can go to, what verse is it? Is it 8 or something like that?
Well, yeah, starting about verse 7, because above that he talks about his credentials,
right,
as it were.
Right, go ahead.
But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Then he goes on to say, and this is where we were getting, not that I've already attained it,
right,
or I'm already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul said, I've got a calling. I'm going after it.
Right. Amen.
He said, I count myself not to have apprehended it, but this one thing I do. Paul says, I'm not all the way there yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God.
That's so good.
In Christ Jesus.
Philippians 3, starting with verse 7. Get it and read it at some point.
What an encouragement.
I press on, no matter what. I just don't have it all together yet. Paul, even Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, is saying, hey, I don't have it all together yet, but I press on with purpose. This is what you call fired up with purpose. Mm-hmm. Paul's life,
and
right
he
here.
Wasn't letting anything stop
no,
him.
No, nothing stopped him.
You know, because some people, you think, well, and I know because I've done it myself, you wallow and, you know, I should be further along in this than I am.
Right.
Yeah, maybe I should. But if I just keep focusing on that, I'm not going to go any further forward.
That's right.
And Paul said, you know, I had all these credentials and I did all this bad stuff.
Right.
But you know what? None of that matters.
Right.
The good stuff, it's just, you know, my training and all that stuff, it's just garbage.
Right.
And the bad stuff I did, it's under the blood.
Right.
So I'm pressing on.
Woo! And you know what? That is a huge point right here for this series that we're in right here, is that you let go of those things from the past, forgetting what lies behind. And, you know, we are kind of, this show is developed into us pointing out some of the tricks and of the enemy, the way he dupes us. There's that word again.
You're liking that word.
I like
today.
It. I like it because that's what it is. He really kind of tricks us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Peter, he says the tricks and schemes of the devil, you know, and so often we fall for all this stuff and we are rendered useless, if you know, or non-effective, because we buy the lie. We did a show on this in June. I remember this. In June of 2010, I believe, or 11, and it's in those radio shows on our website, where we talked about the devil and his techniques and how he tries to get you to buy the lie. I think it's 2010. Unbelievable how the devil works. And here Paul says, doesn't matter. I'm not letting that stuff stop me. I press on.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Yeah, and one of the other things that the devil does, and it just came to mind, he likes to substitute.
Okay.
Okay.
Substitute.
Yeah. Well, for love, he'll get you into lust.
Oh, okay. There you go. Sure. Counterfeit. Yeah.
Counterfeit. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because if he can get you into a cheap imitation,
all right,
that's not good for you.
Right.
Then that keeps you from really knowing the true love, the true righteousness, because Satan will try and get you into self-righteousness. He'll get you into a works-based religion.
He does anything to get your eyes off Jesus, mm-hmm. don't you think? And I love what Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Was that Hebrews mm-hmm. chapter 12, verse 1? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And when we get our eyes fixed on what Jesus wants for me today, we can't figure it out a month from now. You know, don't get all caught up in trying to figure out your life 10 years from now, 15 years from now. We don't know if we'll still be here 10 years or 15. Let's just go with today. Fired up with purpose for today. That's a bell ringer. Fired up with purpose for today. Well, you know, and not Jesus, worrying about the future.
Right. Jesus said each day has enough trouble of its
own.
It
certainly does.
He says, you know, just do it day by day.
Right.
Because there are enough opportunities. I truly believe God gives us enough opportunities in one day to witness for him, to live his life through us, that we don't have to worry about the day after tomorrow.
Oh, no.
We don't have to worry about next week. And as much as I love prophecy, I don't have to worry about when Jesus is coming back, because I'm going to live each day like he could come that day. I want my life
yes.
to exemplify his life, so that other people can know him.
That's it. And when we get up with that attitude in the morning, I really do believe that when we start our day like this, Lord, whatever your purpose is for my day today, I'm not going to worry about 10 years from now or a year from now. I'm going to just put one foot in front of the other. How do you pronounce that in Greek?
Peripateo.
Okay, there you go. And Paul said, that's how I live. He said, I put one foot in front of the other. Okay. And that's really the only way we can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a realtor also and have been for 24 years. And one thing about real estate is you can't plan your day, because just when you think that you have it figured out, okay, I got this at this hour and this at that, and then this is going to happen. Then I'm going to go show homes and I'm going to go present a contract and all that. It gets so changed during the day, and it can be so frustrating to people in your life who really like things to be more sure about how it's going to go. But real estate is one of those, hey, if the phone rings and somebody wants to go see a house, right, then you kind of got to accommodate them as soon as you can so you don't lose them. You know what I'm saying? You understand the metaphor I'm trying to give
here?
Oh,
yeah. There's a lot of parallels between that and my job, which is case management.
Right.
I can look at my calendar and right. I've got certain appointments that I've set up. And it may look like the rest of the day there's not much going on, but that phone and clients dropping by.
Sure, you understand.
And, oh, yeah. Exactly. And yeah, and there's like one day at a time. And, you know, that's just an easier way to do it, because, you know, each of us, all of us, we think about the like tomorrow, and I try not to, because I like to enjoy my Sunday.
Right.
But if I start thinking about that, I get work. I got to do this.
Got to do that.
I got to plan on this. I've got this I got to do. And then it's like, I've just lost part of Sunday.
Right.
By fretting about tomorrow. I mean, Jesus rightfully says, don't worry about tomorrow.
Don't worry about tomorrow.
Don't worry about it.
Absolutely.
Seek ye first the kingdom
Matthew
of God
6,
and his righteousness.
Matthew 6:33. And when we are doing that, seeking first his kingdom, which is really right here on earth what we are supposed to be doing, Romans 14:17. It's not about what you eat or drink, Paul said, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So living your life as best you can, try to get through your day with peace. That joy follows. And again, let's go back to Psalm 23. And David ends Psalm 23 with, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, which could not take us any more perfectly into this next song, which totally always amazes me how this works out. This is by Matthew West, and the song is Rest. See how this correlates? Yes, it does. Praise God, we got to learn to rest. I love that song. Couldn't have been more timely right there. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. And I think, Pastor Jim, a lot of us need that peace and that rest more than we want to admit. The life has its hard times, it has its busy times, it has its times of pain and emotional stress. And when we can learn to rest as we go through that day, Lord, I'm not going to stress over this. I refuse to worry about this. I am going to give it to you, and I'm not going to carry it. You know, this past Monday, I had to let my little guy, Bailey, my little dog, 12 years, go into the arms of Jesus, and it was extremely painful. And coming up to that, I thought it might go that way. The doctor might want to do that and say we needed to do that. And I was just giving that pain in advance that I knew was going to happen whenever he went to heaven, I was just giving that to the Lord. And I can honestly tell you that God has been so good to sustain me through this and to give me peace. And for my other little dog, Zoe Grace, just to give us peace in the midst of this really painful, traumatic time that a lot of us in our lives have to go through these things. But I can honestly tell you here, almost a week later, God's peace, doesn't mean I haven't shed some tears, because I have. And when I talk about him, it's hard for me to talk about him. But I can honestly tell you that I have rested at night. I have not been fretting or not, you know, I've just put him in God's hands, which I had to do. And that's what we need to learn to do.
Right. Well, and that's so true, because, you know, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Right.
And we get weary just from being in the world. We get weary.
Absolutely.
We get heavy laden with burdens, griefs, things like that.
Right.
We get heavy laden trying to impress ourselves, other people, trying to impress God. You know, those are all burdens. Jesus says, just lay them down.
Lay them down.
The writer of Hebrews says, when you enter into God's rest, you cease from your works.
Right.
Just like God did.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and the Lord didn't rest on the Sabbath because he was tired. He rested so he could admire creation.
Right.
He could look at what he had done. He ceased. He said, okay, I'm done.
Right.
And that's what God calls us to. When we enter into that rest, we stop from doing our own stuff. We realize, well, what's the old song? Jesus paid it all.
Oh,
all
yes.
To him I owe.
I heard that on my Pandora this morning. Oh, love that song.
We can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We can't.
Got to give it to him.
Right, exactly. We have to surrender it to him. Peter says, cast all your cares upon me. Cast all your burdens on the Lord.
Yes.
And he'll lift you up.
Amen.
I just had a picture in my head. It's almost like God says, toss them off, then I can lift you up. Otherwise, you hold on to them, I can't budge you.
It weighs us down when we're carrying around the pressures. And with that, along with this topic right now, I grew up in the ministry, so I was at many church camps like you described, and so many services with my dad as an evangelist, pastor, missionary, where people were so, well, I don't know what to do. What's God calling me to do? And I think we can let that be a burden for us when we're talking about purpose here. It's not meant to be a drudgery. It's not meant to be, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing? God, what am I supposed to be doing? We can work ourselves up into just a frenzy. In the ministry, I saw this with friends of mine at the time that we were in our early 20s, teenagers. I was in a traveling singing group two or three different times. But one time there was like 100 of us that went every Sunday night to different churches. It was called Teen Ambassadors in Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. And I cannot tell you the number of times I've had conversations with kids my age, high school, college. I don't know what God wants me to do. And just so upset about it. I don't know what to major in college. You know, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Take that and run with that, no, Pastor Jim.
I laughed because...
You were one of those, huh?
I was one. Well, not so much I didn't know what God wanted me to do with my life, but I changed majors like 3 or 4 times. Mm. Journalism, special ed, finally plopped down in social work.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like, don't worry about it. God will give you your calling. He'll let you in on it when
gradually,
the time is
sometimes.
Right. Yeah, when the time is right. Because the more you fret.
Oh.
I love that word, fret.
Fret. Nice word.
Fret not thyself. Was that Psalm 27? Fret not thyself.
That sounds very religious.
But it's true. Don't fret over it, because you're just blocking.
Yeah.
If you're babbling to yourself, quite honestly, about what does God want me to do? God wants you to shut up, first of all, so you can hear him when he talks to you.
Okay, that's a bell ringer.
Yeah.
Yeah, God wants you to shut up so you can hear.
Well, and that's true, because sometimes we get so much stuff going in,
going
in our heads.
But that's the devil trying to get us all agitated. The devil, it majors on chaos and agitation and restlessness. And if you're experiencing that, then you need to resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you can't think a peaceful thought, then you need to resist the devil and he will flee from you, because the devil loves to get us all agitated about our future. And it doesn't matter how old you are. The devil can still get you agitated about your future, right?
Oh, amen. Amen. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's like, and I've experienced that lately, because I'll be turning 60 this year.
Oh, my. PJ. Oh, my. We're going to have a party.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I've been obviously thinking a lot more.
What an old man you are.
I know. So I've been thinking a lot more about retirement, and we've been talking about our wills and making sure everything's up to date. And, you know, that's... Satan wanted to use that to scare me. It's like, you know, these are things you need to think about. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, you're right. But I don't have, I'm not going to fret or I'm not going to fuss over them.
Right.
I'm going to do them. I'm going to make my plans, but I'm not going to worry about it, because ultimately it's in God's hands. You know?
Absolutely. And this is a daily walk. This is a daily walk. And I can say that now because of this age where I am. But when I was 16 and 17 and 18 and struggling with what I thought God was saying to me back then about my future, it was very traumatic. And I believe it is for a lot of people. And I also believe the enemy comes to a lot of people and says, well, you never did do what God wanted you to do back then, so it's over. You have no future. Wait a minute. As long as you have breath,
you have a future.
Right? And we get so caught up in our mistakes, which is majoring on the past. And Romans 8:1, Paul, who wrote 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy, said this: there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. We have got to learn to let the devil... I mean, to kick him in the teeth when he starts this stuff. Oh, but you did this. You'll never be anything for God. You never accomplish anything because of this in your past. I know we mentioned that earlier in the broadcast, but I'm feeling like God's saying, bring that back up. There's listeners out there who feel so less than, Pastor Jim, have no value. They just feel like they have no value to the kingdom of God because of mistakes they made in the past.
Exactly. And again, I point you back to Paul. Okay. He thought he was mistake proof and yet ended up persecuting the church.
Oh, yeah.
And God still used him. And
praise God.
And Paul wasn't perfect. Paul was kind of short tempered. You know, that comes out in a couple of his letters. But I think of the other, like Peter. Prime example. Jesus said, you know, at the Last Supper, Peter, you're going to deny you even know me.
Right.
And Peter said, not me. No. And he denied him three times.
Right.
And just to show you the grace of God.
Yes.
When Paul talks about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, he says specifically, Jesus appeared to Peter.
Yeah.
Separate from anybody else. Jesus appeared to Peter, and I believe at that, you know,
restoration,
he restored him.
He did.
Peter denied Jesus three times on the night that Jesus went to the cross.
Right.
And yet,
I believe
still used Peter.
I believe there's people being restored right now because of what this radio show has turned out to be today, which of course we never know what it's going to be. We just know the general scriptures where we're headed, and then we just let the Holy Spirit lead. But isn't that wonderful, because the Holy Spirit is leading today, as he always does, with some specific points to help people come out from their complacency, their lack of purpose,
They're stuck in a rutness.
They're stuck in the rutness. I like that. Is that a word, stuck in the rutness?
I'm pretty sure it's
not. I think it should be. They're stuck in the rutness. But we get that way, Pastor Jim. We get discouraged with life. Maybe people have hurt us. We leave churches, ministries. We quit reading our Bible. We quit listening to the radio. We quit being taught because we're hurt. And, you know, the enemy uses hurt, resentment. He uses discouragement, depression, sickness, pain, to keep us away from all the blessings that God has for us.
And the amazing thing is Jesus dealt with every one of those things.
On the cross.
Exactly. And he gave us instructions on what to do. If somebody offends you, you go to them.
Right.
You, if they don't listen, you take two witnesses. If they still don't listen, then it's done.
Right.
It's just done. Jesus, for our healing and our pain, he took those to the cross.
Yes.
We need... James says, if is any among you sick, call the elders.
Yes,
you know,
there's
God's
answers for everything.
Specific instructions on what
point.
We need to do.
Woo, good point.
To counteract these things that Satan has thrown at us.
We don't stay in the rut. Peter describes in 1 Peter 5 the schemes and tricks of the devil, that he's like a roaring lion roaring around. I think it's verse 8, 1 Peter 5, 8. And he's roaring around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, we like to refer to Satan as the toothless lion, and he is actually. And Paul or Peter goes on to say, doesn't he resist him, firm in the faith? Go ahead and read that.
Okay, let me...
1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. I love those three verses.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Oh, that's so good. So Peter says, yeah, the devil's roaring around. He's trying to devour you. That's a given. Okay, people, if you didn't know that, if you think the devil is just some thing they cook up on the movies, no, devil is real. And he roams around like a lion, toothless lion, seeking someone to devour. And then Peter says, but resist him firm in your faith.
Can I just hop in,
please
hop in here?
Please do.
Paul in Colossians.
It's good I can see you right through the glass and kind of know when you're ready to talk.
Paul says in Colossians that Jesus at the cross disarmed the rulers, including Satan, disarmed.
Amen.
All of them. They're powerless.
Powerless.
So that's why we can say Satan is a toothless lion.
Right.
He can roar all he wants to.
Right.
And yeah, we can choose to be intimidated. We can choose to believe the lies or whatever he's telling us. But Peter says, whom you resist steadfast in your faith.
That's right.
That's our part. Jesus did his part by disarming the devil and all his hosts. The power they have is through deception.
Right.
And trickery.
Right.
And Jesus disarmed it.
Right.
They're disarmed. I just read today, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Woo!
But that's...
Yes.
If he's going to lead us in triumph, we have to follow.
That's right.
You know, there's what Jesus has done. But in order for us to fully appropriate it, there's something we need to do. It's like with salvation. Jesus died for the whole world.
Right.
Okay? But it doesn't do me any good unless I appropriate it by
right.
faith.
Exactly.
I have to believe and receive it
right.
by faith.
Right.
Otherwise, it doesn't do me any good. It's the same thing with conquering the devil, with walking with purpose and walking into your calling. There's a part that God's done
right.
that we obviously cannot do, and there's what we have to do that God will not do.
Right.
He won't do it for us. There's certain things we
need
to do.
Well, he gave us free will.
Exactly.
So he says, you have the right to make these decisions for your life.
What a gamble that was.
Wow. Well, But praise God that he did, because then he can find out who truly loves him and who's just playing the game. And, you know, we're going to do a song here by Amy Grant, Softly and Tenderly. I grew up singing this in school, I mean in church, and I'm sure you did. Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. You know, when we realize that God is calling us to rise above everything the devil throws at us, God is calling us to rise above our ordinary lives and become extraordinary for his kingdom. God is calling us to realize that he has a purpose for each of us, and that if we truly want to fulfill his plan and purpose for us, we will be able to do it. He'll make it happen. All he asks for us is we put one foot
in front of the other.
Get up in the morning, Lord, whatever you want for me today, I intend to fulfill your purpose for me today. And as we do that and go through the day sensitive to his Holy Spirit, all kinds of crazy, wonderful things happen. Oh, my.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Praise God. He's calling us, dear ones. He doesn't want us to stay in our junk. He doesn't want us to stay in our past. What a joy it is in his heart when we put one foot in front of the other and we move towards him. You know, he is calling us to be more than we are. It's Mother's Day here in Tampa Bay today. This is May 10th of 2015. And I've got three kids and nine grandchildren and a couple great-grands. And yesterday, my youngest son and his beautiful wife came home, and we're home about 24 hours. What a joy to have them, even for 24 hours. They live in Pensacola. It's a long way away. But, you know, just to have them, I just grabbed them and hugged them and just to spend time with them. this mother's heart is nothing like the father's heart. And how much he loves it when we say, God, I'm coming to you today. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on you. You know, I'm not going to let other things distract me. I'm headed towards you. I'm going to make this day the best day of my life. What if it's the last day? I want to make it the best day. Mm-hmm. While I dry my tears, go ahead, PJ.
Well, that's so true. I mean, I've quite honestly, that's the first time I heard that song in years, decades, more likely.
Great song.
Yeah, brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah.
But softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling for you and for me.
Yes.
You know, he's calling because he's calling us to come home, come back to him.
He loves us so much.
And he's pleading.
Yes.
And, you know, he's just interceding for us.
Yes.
Before the Father. So that everything falls into place for us.
Right.
That, yeah, we still have the free will. But Jesus makes it so easy to be obedient.
Why do you say that?
Well, you know, he's interceding for us before the Father and things.
Right.
He'll just make everything fall into place.
He does.
And so that it's so obvious.
Yeah.
And he does that because he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter.
He loves us.
Some people think just because hardships come that God's turned his love away.
Oh, no.
And that's not it at all. That's just not it.
Those are actually gifts to us.
If we let them be.
If we let them be, you know, there are ways to learn his nature, ways to overcome. And
exactly.
Oh, it's just, those are gifts.
But again, it's, we have to submit those things to him. And he'll turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said he'll work all things for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose.
Right.
All things, not just some things, not just the good things.
Right.
He'll work everything that happens.
Right.
And you may say, well, this happened or that happened or I'm this or I'm that. Submit it to God.
Amen.
And he'll turn it around. He'll make something, the old Gaither song, he'll make something beautiful. Mm. Oh, now I'm going to tear up. He'll make something beautiful out of your life if you just let him do that work.
Right. Yeah. Wow. So, you know, that song was very timely there because he is calling us. And dear one, he's calling you to come out of your complacency, perhaps, if that's your issue, or to come out of your doubt or your fear, or to come out of living in the past and wishing things could be different. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's calling you to come out of that condemnation that the devil's throwing at you all the time to make you feel less than and like you can't ever accomplish anything for God's kingdom. You know, we're here to tell you today, Pastor Jim and I, you know, we're not perfect. We've lived a life that both of us, we've had all kinds of things happen to us in our lives. Both of us are divorced. That's not ideal. You know, it's not what we wanted. Things happen in life, you know, and we have to learn to go forward from that moment and allow God to do in us that refreshing, that teaching us, that where he just begins to reveal that he has so much more for us than we've ever experienced.
If we let him.
If we let him.
You know, that's because I remember when I was thinking God, you know, I was mad at God. I got mad.
Right.
Things were supposed to happen that did not happen.
Sure.
And my understanding was a little limited at that time, but I got mad at God. You know, I just didn't want anything more to do with him. Fine. This is the way you're going to treat me. I'm walking away.
I think a lot of people can relate to that, Pastor Jim.
And I did for a couple of years, but never completely. I mean, even
absolutely.
The one thing I kept was my old New American Standard Bible.
Oh.
My little wide margin Bible. I always kept that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was down to one Bible at one point.
You're up to 148 or something like that.
But
it's God, a little exaggerated.
God never let go.
No.
Because I look at it kind of like, you know, I was like a fish and he's letting me out on the line. Then he starts reeling
you back in.
And I think it was Charles and Francis Hunter.
Yeah.
Talked about the gossamer web.
Okay.
You know, that really just web that you don't even really know's there.
Right. And he starts
kind
pulling
of
us in.
Spins it around.
Ooh,
you.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he did. And thank the Lord. I submitted and I listened and I got it. Mm-hmm. I realized what was happening.
Right.
I realized he hadn't abandoned me.
Right.
And that was incredible, because then I could start to build back to where I knew I could go back into the calling that I knew God had
right.
for me. I could accept it and I could believe he's actually going to fulfill it for me.
Sure. And so when we get to that point where we realize there really is a call on each of our lives, if we choose to accept it and discover what God has for us. And I think this show has been very big to show people the devil's going to try everything he can to keep you from fulfilling God's purpose. He's going to put a fence in front of you. It hurts. Resentments, illness, pain, you name it, the devil's got it all in his bag of tricks. And we have got to, as Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8-11, if you didn't write that reference down, you need to. 1 Peter 5:8-11, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him. And you know what? That's what we've got to do. We've got to realize the devil's not going to win this battle. I am going to become everything God wants me to become. And when it comes to the point that he's ready to take me home, I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want to know that I have fulfilled God's plan and purpose for my life. That's my deepest desire in my life, to be all he wants me to be, to become all he wants me to become, still so much growing to do, and to fulfill the plans and purposes. And I encourage you, dear listener, let that also become your desire. Because when it does, your life will be turned upside down. Paul's life was turned upside down from his perfection in the religious system to realizing that nothing mattered but to gain Christ. And Paul said, "For me to live is Christ.
To die is gain."
To die is gain. And, praise God. Pastor Jim, you want to give us some final thoughts as we're getting close to having to wrap up here pretty soon?
Yeah, I was skipping ahead.
Go
to
ahead.
To the end of 1 Timothy.
Go ahead.
Because I think it's appropriate. I think it's just appropriate here. But he says, and this is, again, his last will. Now, I'm getting choked up. But it's Paul's last will and testament. And this is what he says in chapter 4.
Of 2 Timothy.
Of 2 Timothy. Talks first part about, he charges Timothy before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. Timothy, preach the word, be instant, be quick, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here at the end, he's still giving Timothy instructions. He talks about how false teachers are going to come. But then he says, but watch yourself in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof or fulfill your ministry. And then he says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I've finished my course.
Amen.
I've kept the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not me only, but to all those who've loved his appearing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of my favorite verses.
Me too.
Just, I fought the fight. I finished the course.
I finished my
and
purpose.
And I pray for
I
all.
I finished my purpose.
Amen. I pray for all of our people. He tells Timothy, fulfill your calling.
Fulfill it.
And I pray that every listener of ours could say, I fought the fight. I finished. I fulfilled my calling.
Yes.
That is our prayer, that you'll step into that and fulfill whatever the calling is.
Yes.
Whether it's pastoring, whether it's taking a dinner over to your next door neighbor.
Right.
Whatever your calling is, I pray that you will fulfill
Amen.
It so that you too can say, I've done it.
I've done it.
I've done it. I've been faithful and I've done it.
You know, my dad passed away in 07 and my sister and her husband made a big video of his life and it was really amazing. But at the very end, it was, you know, sunset and then the scripture, that scripture is what ended, I fought the good fight. Wow, talk about emotional and tear you up, you know, but it's true. And that's what we've got to strive for. Audience, we are praying for you. Let's pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our wonderful audience scattered around this globe. Lord, we thank you that there's no distance now with technology, but also in the Spirit of God, there's no distance. And Lord, for those who needed to hear this today and those that will hear it in the future, we ask that you speak to their hearts and cause them to realize that you have a purpose for their life and that you have not forgotten them, that they are not insignificant, that they are not less than, but they are here for a reason and a purpose. And that in Psalm 139, when you said that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and that you've known us in our mother's womb, Lord, let that truth ring true in the lives of our listeners and let them from this moment on make a decision to follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus one day at a time, one step at a time. Amen. Lord, that is our prayer for this show today. Lord, we thank you for the ability to get it out across the airwaves around the globe. You are truly amazing and wonderful. You get the glory and the praise for this wonderful show. In Jesus' name, this we pray. Amen and amen. You can hear the show again by tomorrow evening on Tantalk1340.com. Go to podcasts, go to radio broadcasts, podcasts, go to Living the Good Life, and you'll find it. At the end of each month, our webmaster puts all the shows for the month on our websites, both shows. GoYard2014.org, a lot of shows there, life coaching shows, and also this show on BOHMGlobal.com. So we welcome you to go and listen and catch these shows. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you Friday night. Come and join us, 6:30. Amen. Bring your Bible, notebook, and enjoy. We're going to have a big Memorial Day party out at Sand Key. If you want to be a part of that, you can write me, pastor@BOHMGlobal.com. You can write my associate in there in the studio, Pastor Jim@BOHMGlobal.com. Either one of us. And if you have questions, you can also do that. And Pastor Jim will be glad to answer you.
Yes,
you're
I will.
The question man. He's in charge of answering questions. All right, this has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and
Associate Pastor Jim Ellsbury.
Oh, that's fine.
PJ.
You know, we don't have to say associate.
Yes.
Yes, PJ. And just bringing you the Word of God today. And we really encourage you to listen to these past shows. You will be so blessed if you do. So blessed. Absolutely. All right. It's not far to Jesus, and that's our closing song every week. I love this song, Pastor Jim. It just reminds people to run to him.
Amen.
I love it every
Amen.
Single
it's
week.
It's a great song.
Isn't it? Here we go. See you next week, and join in and tell some people about Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. God bless you. Have a great week. It's not far from me.